Michael Wong.
Hi, my name is Michael Wong. During the Vietnam War, I was in the Army for a year, got orders for Vietnam. After a lot of thought and a lot of discussion and a lot of introspection, I decided I was not going to go. I got together what was called a limited CO case, where I was objecting to a particular war, but not to the general principle of legitimate national defense. I turned myself into the Presidio Stockade, refused orders for Vietnam. They held me for a short time, dropped all the charges. I had 3 felony charges against me. They dropped them all, put me back on Vietnam orders, released me, and ordered me to report to Oakland Army Terminal. Instead, I deserted, went to Canada, was there for 5 years, came back after the war, turned myself back in, pleaded guilty to long-term AWOL, got an undesirable discharge. And I want to talk a little bit about what's involved in a soldier refusing to go fight a war. It's a really gut-wrenching experience. It's very difficult. It was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. And it was far more difficult than, for example, going out in a demonstration when I was wanted by the FBI in Canada and facing down police, because it was a physical risk, and that's something that guys are programmed to do. But not fighting is the opposite of what guys are programmed to do. It's very difficult. But when I did it, I had no idea how significant it was going to be, whether it made a difference in the war, what was going to happen to me. There was a lot of talk at that time about, you know, people who desert are going to be disgraced for the rest of their lives. Nobody will ever give them a job. They're going to live lives of desperation. They're just going to be, you know, the garbage of society. In fact, the opposite turned out to be the truth. When there's a movie out now called Sir, No Sir, which you can find it on the net. And it's about military resistance during the Vietnam War, and basically what it showed was that the accumulation of people deserting, going for conscientious objection, refusing orders, creating sabotage in the field, just doing a lot of things, marching in war protests, speaking out against the war, basically brought the military to the point where the American government realized they could not continue to fight the war using the military that they had, because objection to the war was so strong that the army was literally falling apart. And you'll see it documented in the movie. What happened then was they went to the air war, and then they went to Vietnamization. And in the end, of course, all of those strategies failed, and Vietnam fell to the communists, who were the ones who had the support of the people in the first place. What we're seeing now in Iraq is the same thing. What we're seeing is that in the space of 2 years, there are 3 Iraq veterans organizations who are coming out and exposing the truth of this war. There's Iraq Veterans Against the War, Veterans for Common Sense, and Operation Truth, all of whom have websites that you can find on the net. Furthermore, when I talk to Iraq veterans, I get a consistent picture of very low morale. There's a movie out now called Dreamland Occupation, and they do extensive interviews of this one unit, this one squad of paratroopers in the 101st Airborne in Iraq. And what you see in the movie is that there's substantial disagreement with the war. In fact, I'd say probably about 60% of the troops actually speak out against the war, and only about maybe a third of them sort of give lukewarm support to the war, and the rest are somewhere in the middle. So the same process of disintegration that happened during the Vietnam War is happening again in Iraq. And in the end, if nothing else stops the war, this will. I want to say one last thing about what happened to people who deserted and who refused orders during the Vietnam War. A whole bunch of us went down to see the premiere of the movie, and at the end of the movie, we were all caught up on stage, and we stood on stage and answered questions. I happened to be standing at one end of the line, and there were, I don't know, maybe 20 people there. And what I saw was that all of those 20 people had made it. They all had good jobs. Most of us were professionals. About a third of us had master's degrees. 90% of us had bachelor's degrees. We were all very successful in just, you know, the standard middle-class firms. And in fact, all of the things that the establishment, that the government had said would happen to us, had in fact the opposite turned out to be true. We actually turned out to be more successful.